You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In Jesus' answer to the Sadducees about the resurrection in the gospel lesson today, he gives us some bold and profound things to consider. Look at verse 35 and 36. I want you to read these verses with me, please. But those who are considered worthy of taking part in that age and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. There are at least three things that Jesus teaches us in these two sentences. One, that there is resurrection from the dead. Two, that there are angels, and that people in heaven share with angels immortality. And three, the resurrection life is proof of being God's child. So consider this. What difference does what Jesus says here about the resurrection make to you? What difference does knowing that you have new life, eternal life, life forever with God as his child, what does that make in your day? Let me suggest a few things. One is that you are no longer tethered to the things of this earth. They can no longer bind your heart and mind when you know that what you are and what you have in Christ is eternal, and that what surrounds you here and now is only temporary. All the stuff of earth is ours only for a short time, and sometimes people put too much value in it. Sort of like this guy out where I lived in Southern California. He was driving down the road in his bright red BMW convertible when suddenly an earthquake split open the road that he was driving on. His sports car was swallowed into the ground. The man jumped out in time to save his life, but before he could get completely clear of the car, the car rolled over and cut off his left arm. As he sat on the ground looking into the hole, he cried out, "Oh no, my car, my car!" A man who was passing by stopped and said, "How can you be crying about your car? You lost your arm." In shock, the man looked down where his arm used to be and he said, "My Rolex, my Rolex!" That's a guy who had his mind too focused on the things of this earth. So, one difference is knowing that you're a child of the resurrection makes is that you are no longer enslaved by the things of this earth. And another thing is that you have the presence of God in your life right now. By his grace, through faith in the work of Jesus dying on the cross and rising to new life again, you are now the possession of God. And that doesn't just affect you. You are transformed by that because it comes from God. The sermon title says, "Child of Death, Child of Life." That is you. Because of your baptism, you were made a child of death. As St. Paul says in Romans 6:4, like I said in Sunday school this morning, I knew this was going to come up again. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And according to this same verse, baptism grants us, like we just said, new life. And again, in today's gospel lesson, like we talked about, the resurrection life shows us to be children of God, children of life. As God's children, he is always, always with us. Most of you know that my father died when I was 18. But to this day, my dad is with me. That picture on the left is from World War II down in the South Pacific with him. I am still his son. And not a day goes by that I don't remember that. The same is true with our Heavenly Father. Just as my dad is always with me because I'm his son, so also God is always with me because by right of baptism into Jesus Christ, I was made a child of God. And so are you. Okay, so let's recap a little bit so far. You know that you are a child of God, meaning a child of life, and a child of the resurrection. Therefore, you have the presence of God, the God of heaven, in your life, and you are no longer tied to the things of this earth. Now, on to the third thing. The third thing that the resurrection can make a difference to in our daily life. You have each day in your possession the weapons that you need to resist temptation to sin that come your way. That is extraordinary power. You have the power to resist temptation. Remember that temptation is not sin. Temptation is not the same thing as sin. Temptation can lead you to sin, but temptation is not the same as sin. Don't confuse those two. Temptation has only the power that you let it have. But remember, being free of the claims of this world, that the claims that this world tries to put on you, and also having God's presence in your life, by those two things, you have been given the strength required to put up a fight against the temptation to sin. Like it says up here, temptation is everywhere, but so is God. Now, here is one real benefit of having eternal life, isn't it? This can truly impact your day. But for some reason, people try to minimize the impact of God in their life. We like temptation. We can even invite it. That way we think we have an excuse when we, I fell into sin. People try to hold back the tide of transformation that comes with the presence of God in a person's daily life. Even Moses in the Old Testament lesson today shows us this. Look at the two questions that Moses asked God when God called him and did Moses the favor of telling him exactly what God wanted him to do. First, Moses protested that he was of no account in the eyes of Pharaoh, the mighty king of Egypt. And what was God's answer? I will be with you. It's as though God is saying that his presence alone in Moses' life is all that Moses needs. It's God's being with Moses that will allow Moses to accomplish what God has called him to do, regardless of who Moses must face, up to and including the Pharaoh. So Moses struck out asking God about Pharaoh. Then he takes another tack and asks God to explain who Moses should tell the nation of Israel it is that sent this outcast and murderer to them to lead them away from Pharaoh. And again, God answers Moses. And he does so by giving Moses the most powerful thing that he can. He tells Moses his name. The name that is the most holy. Moses is told to say, "I am has sent me to you." This leaves Moses with no more excuses. He cannot resist the power of the great I am. God promises to be with Moses when he comes before both Pharaoh and his kingdom and before the nation of Israel. There will be no one that Moses will encounter in doing the work that God has called him to do, either a Pharaoh of this world or the people of Moses' own nation of Israel, no one who can remove God's presence from him because he has God's own high and holy name. And with giving Moses this name, this identity, God is making clear that how and why Moses acts is only under the transformative power of the true God of all creation. Holding back God's power to transform us by his presence is not something Moses could do, nor is it a part of who we are at Zion Lutheran Church. According to our mission statement, we are here doing what? Hearing, sharing, and living the gospel. That's right. We do that because we are transformed by the presence of God in our daily life through the name of God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. We don't want to limit that transformation and power of our Heavenly Father's gift to us, of his holy presence within us, to resist temptation. One of the popular notions of our day is that it doesn't matter which God you worship, as long as you sincerely worship some God. That's like telling the skydiver, it doesn't matter what you stuff in that parachute pack on your back, as long as you sincerely stuff something back there. Or to the scuba diver, it doesn't matter what kind of gas you fill your scuba tank with, as long as you sincerely fill it with some kind of gas. A proper parachute for the skydiver and the right gas for the scuba diver are essential for survival. The right presence of the only true God, our Creator, Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, his presence in us by grace through faith alone is the presence that matters. His presence is the only one that leads to life eternal. Many very sincere and very religious people today are totally blinded and seek after false gods to their own eternal destruction. That is not us. We have had the one true God explode our lives open by granting us the guarantee of eternal life through the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That guarantee can't be taken from us or be denied to us by anyone or anything on this earth, just like Moses. Jesus Christ, by his death and especially by his resurrection, is the guarantee of that promise of God to us. And that promise comes to the world in no other way, through no other God or in any other fashion than through the name of Jesus. Being a child of the resurrection is a spur to our mission of sharing the gospel. Knowing that resurrection power transforms and brings us God's presence and gives us power over temptation, don't we want others to know and have that also? Yes, we do. The power of the resurrection is for everyone to have. In fact, it is already theirs. They just need to learn that. Without someone telling them, they will not have what you have. Life now and life eternal. Let me suggest this. Try sharing John 3:16 in a very personal way. When it says, "For God so loved the world," try replacing "the world" with the person's name. Now, this is for you to do. I want you to try this right now with someone sitting next to you. Okay? I want you to turn to them, take the sermon note you have, or look up here. And where the underlines are on the word, where it says name, say John 3:16 to that person and put their name in the places indicated. I want you to try that right now. Go ahead, do that. Come here. For God so loved, you ready? For God so loved Kimberly that he gave his one and only son, that Kimberly, who believes in him, shall not perish but have eternal life. Isn't that nice to hear? Yeah, okay. You can sit down. Isn't it wonderful to hear that the Holy God of all creation loves you by name? I'm not suggesting that you go down the street and do this with strangers. But you might find that you can adapt it. And it's something you can do in quiet moments with a friend or a loved one who needs to hear for their life what you know to be true in your life. You don't have to get the quote exactly right word for word, but use their name and let them know why God loves them as you know that God loves you. You know that you are a child of death and a child of life. You know you are no longer tethered to this world and the power, and that the power of the resurrection is yours through the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ. You have been transformed by Christ. Go and share that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight,